all we want for Christmas is no impeachment talk. That's the best I can do.
Good luck. Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me.
That is you.
Yeah, I actually had a really interesting week, and the response to the strips have been really positive, mostly because it just shows that I have such scorn for everybody, which is sort of a personality trait.
Yes.
I love everyone and don't respect them at all.
Right, apparently. Both at the same time.
It's weird. No, yeah. I know, but especially obviously in politics. Not you. I love and respect you a whole lot.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Same ditto. Back at you.
Thank you. Boy, that was just dripping with sincerity. Thank you, sweetheart. Anyway, so yeah, this week I just decided to just have different characters sitting on Santa's laps. And he has one lap. Different characters, one lap. The response has been very interesting. So go ahead.
Okay, so the first one, Carmel wants normalcy. Kaputnik says, whatever state of affairs we have, if it lasts long enough, is the new normal.
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, well, yes and no. I mean, in the Soviet Union, for instance, they had their normal was normal for 70 years, and no one got used to that. And they got rid of it as soon as they could, as soon as they were able. So I don't know if I totally agree with that. I think that there's a natural state of freedom that we expect and a certain level of getting what we want, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
So.
Okay. Oh, and Nantucket says, according to Bill Mayer, Judge Judy, and the other guests on Real Time, the night after Bloomberg declared his candidacy, Bloomberg is the, quote-unquote, return to normalcy. No thanks.
Bloomberg is? I have to admit, you know, when he first got in, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. But when he, a number of things, but the biggest will come at the last of the sentence, but when he started to say things like, he's not really going to campaign.
Yeah,
and he's going to do the Giuliani model, which is he's going to throw all his he's not going to be in the early primaries. He's not going to get the nomination. So it's I don't know what this vanity act is, but the one thing that really pissed me off more than any of it was when he told the reporters of Bloomberg News Service or what do you call it, Bloomberg News, not to cover him or the Democratic nominees.
What?
Yeah, he gave an honest to goodness. He told the staff not.
Why?
Because he can?
Yeah, but what's his reasoning? Did he give a reason?
Yeah, well, do you want to be covered by a news organization?
Nah.
I guess, you know, or have negative news coverage? Of course you don't.
It didn't hurt Trump.
He didn't own a news service.
No, that's true.
He just kept...
Yeah, you can't do that because that's not right.
No, you let your reporters report what they report.
Right.
So...
And speaking of Trump, you had him wanting to be anointed king. Well, you're the one who started it. You put him in the strip.
I started it. Okay.
Yep.
I wish I could be
so
the one
So he wanted to be
it.
Anointed king, and Braindead says, that is what every Trump disciple wants for Christmas. To which Beatles777 responded, since how well the country is doing, why not? But just like George Washington did not want the title, neither does Trump. Stantis is an idiot. To which Red Casey replied, Trump has already stated he should be allowed more than a mere 8 years and remarked that the Chinese way of president for life was a quote unquote good thing.
Yeah, I mean, first off, yes, I'm not, screw you. I'm not an idiot. You're not an idiot. Can we stop, you know, diminishing ourselves down to the president's level of, you know, playground insults, please? God, that makes me mad. I'm going to stop there.
Okay. Well, Jerry Abenhouse writes, you still don't get it. The royals are the establishment. The elites in power like Nancy P., Shifty Adam, Still Fat Cat Nadler. The cabal of unelected people who, quote unquote, run us. The peons, the working class. Mr. Trump messed up their plans, and the coup is an attempt to get even with us, the ones who elected him and didn't listen to our quote-unquote betters.
Actually, interesting, you and I were talking about something similar this morning, about looking at the election results from the United Kingdom and how the Democratic Party here in the United States and in Labour in the UK have the people who they were their natural constituencies and who they were allegedly serving, they stopped serving them. But they didn't stop serving them because they became corporatists themselves. They started to create this environment where billionaires pay less than middle tax rates than middle class people. That's why the Democrats, I think, are losing traction in places where you think they would be very, very strong.
But I don't understand how the Republicans are gaining because they're not actually
I think the Republicans play to a different part of that psyche, which is anti-immigrant, quite frankly. Fear of the other. They play on those fears. They also talk about that someone's coming to take something away from you, and namely taxes, and they are. In large part, that your tax rates go up and up, and you don't get much for it. You get lousy schools, not very safe streets. And I'm talking about places like, let's say, working-class neighborhoods of Chicago or Dayton, Ohio, or the Rust Belt type places, where the Democrats could come in and say, listen, we're going to help facilitate things like startups and incubators and all that stuff. And they do that to a certain extent, but not to the extent that resonates with an awful lot of people, especially people who are older. And, you know, starting up a software incubator really isn't going to help them all that much. I think you're talking about a generation that grew up, and we're one of them. You know, and we're among them, Janine, that, we had parents. Our parents went in different directions, of course. And both of our parents went in white-collar directions, but where a blue-collar person could have a blue-collar job, have a stay-at-home mom, which was the traditional model, could have been a stay-at-home dad, doesn't really matter, but a stay-at-home parent, and then have a house, a car, and send their kids to college on a blue-collar... you can't do that today.
No, you can't.
Those jobs are... I think the expectation lingers for that, and I think that's where the anger comes from in large part, that opportunity is not presented to us anymore, and our kids certainly don't have that.
No, definitely not. They're lucky if they can even get a full-time job.
Or health insurance.
Let's not start that.
different
subject.
Different podcast.
Okay, so you also had the Democrats, and they discussed wanting a viable nominee, to which Christopher Shea replied, "I have problems with some of the candidates running for the Democratic nomination, but every single one of them is more intelligent, more moral, and more accomplished than Trump."
I'm going to take the exception with the one last word, and that's accomplished. I'd say that, what does accomplished means. I mean, Trump went into business and became successful. I mean, he did.
With his dad's money.
Oh, it doesn't... Well, you can qualify it, but I'm just saying he was successful. His TV, he was a successful
reality
show actor. And so, I don't begrudge that success. I think it's success. It's not the kind of success I'd go after or that I particularly respect. The business one, but he wasn't very good at that, if you look at the real numbers, as far as we know. Anyway, Bernie Sanders, has sort of, at least on the marriage front, has sort of the same Trumponian view of marriage, apparently. It's elastic. I don't know. The problem is they're, yes, on paper they're stronger that way, but they're just not resonating with the American people. That's why you don't have a front. You have four or five. You could have four primaries and have four different winners.
I know, it's wild.
Oh, no. And Hillary Clinton waiting in New York.
We're going to see if you get to be right, and then you could just trumpet it.
Yes.
So anyway, the Republicans wanted Trump to stop tweeting.
Yeah.
To which I'm going to do another one by the same person, which I often try not to do, but this time I am. Beatles777 said, "It is the only way he can get his side of the story out to the public. The lamestream media lies and distorts so much." To which old guy responded, "Very true. It amazes me that people don't see the liberal bias in the mainstream media."
I think there's something to be said for that. I don't think there's any doubt. But for the most part, I think that's where, it's interesting when conservatives do point to a story and say, see, what about X, Y, and Z? It's always from a mainstream media source. It's never from some bat crap, crazy right wing, thing. There always has been that bias. I've always argued about it and always argued, and done cartoons about it for my entire career. And it has gotten considerably worse because we don't have the layers of vetting and editing in newspapers that we used to. And because we don't have newspapers like we used to, because, in some places they don't even have newspapers anymore. So all of that being said, what can you trust? You and I had a discussion recently about what, and it was a story on NPR about virtual, deep fake video.
Right, how they can manipulate video and vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was basically they can, they, this was developed for film editors.
Yeah.
But it could also be used for anything. But what you really needed to get a good voice is 40 minutes of someone talking, and then you could get to have them say any word with the editing.
Right. In fact, this didn't have words, but there's a very funny video we saw of the Charlize Theron, some perfume or something she was selling.
All right, and they made her into Mr. Bean.
They just had Mr. Bean's face on the rest of her, and it was seamless. It looked like Mr. Bean's face on Charlize Theron's body, and it was shocking. And and there was another instance of a video. It was an actor or a comedian doing an impersonation of Arnold Schwarzenegger on The Tonight Show, one of the late-night shows, and they superimposed Schwarzenegger's face, and it looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking. It was extraordinary. And so we're going to get more and more of that. As we get less and less vetting and less, we're not going to know what's new or what's news, what's real, what's
right.
And so, what we're doing right now, what many of these people are saying, and what many, and you know, and if you don't work at it, it's a really easy trap to fall into, and that's finding news that confirms what you already believe versus what challenges you, and what you can look at a source and say, I trust that source, that's the reality as it is defined today. That's evaporating, and it will probably be mostly gone.
Well, that's what Susan Hare said. I find it all quite entertaining, and if I want to know the truth, there's always research. But that's the problem, is you can go online to try to research stuff, and it's hard to find sources that you can say, yes, this is a legitimate source.
Right. And you know, and so, Real Clear Politics is a great site. I go to it regularly. I mostly go to it for the amalgam of the polling data that they have. But also they have sources, they have news stories from all over, from both sides, from mainstream media, from leftist press, from rightist press. And if you read all of that, then you can get a pretty strong sense of the reality, but it takes time.
Yeah, that's
and my job description is to go through that stuff. So
for your average everyday person who just wants to read something that gives them the information,
your average Josephine,
yes, it's not going to work.
Not going to work.
Also, you had a newspaper
yes.
editor asking for subscribers and no hedge fund, and what happened says, why would a hedge fund want a newspaper? Figure you can answer that.
Oh, I can answer that one. There's a hedge fund that's now going to buy my former employer, the Chicago Tribune, of which I still do freelance work for them. But I think it's June 6th is going to be the date where you can literally point to in future generations. This is when newspapers died in America. That hedge fund, which is headed by a guy whose nickname, this is what you want to hear when you work in a newspaper, the Destroyer of Newspapers. Is his name.
Great nickname.
And so he's going to be able to take over controlling, absolute control of the company come June 6th. The merger of Gannett and Gatehouse. And Gatehouse is not far behind the Destroyer of Newspapers as to what they do to staffing and so on. They hollow out the product and, you know, why would you pay for it? That merger between Gatehouse and Gannett is about to be official on June 6th. And I believe that McClatchy Newspapers' debt is going to come due and they're on the precipice of bankruptcy. So that's why hedge funds want them. They can leech out the last few bucks out of these things. I mean, there's still money to be made and they're going to try and make them and then leave the carcass along the side of the road.
And Street Beater says, G. Scott, is Republican-style unregulated capitalism a threat to your livelihood? Got news for you, buddy boy. It's worse than you think.
No, capitalism is harsh. Listen, this is something. You know what this is? I mean, I'm not going to make any friends saying this, but it's the newspaper industry, and this is capitalism. And this is what happens when people get fat and lazy under capitalism. Newspapers got to the point where they made more money, and the guys who ran it didn't have to be smart. They literally turned on the presses, and they made money. So you have one, two, three generations of this, and so when the challenges of the 90s came forward, they were really ill-equipped to do that. And to handle and to be imaginative and to be vassal, to have, you know, new ideas and approach it in a way that they just kept trying to do the thing they were doing. They kept making those buggy whips by gum. It was a friend of mine, Mike Thompson, from cartoonist for the USA Today, sent me a picture. He said, look at these guys, how proud they are of their store. And they made horse harnesses in 1915, 1914. no idea that, you know, 2 years from now, they'll be out of business.
Right. Unfortunately, though, with newspapers and media, it's very important for democracy.
It's extremely important. I think it's essential. There's no question about it. I love newspapers. And I love news gathering. I mean, it is. I mean, think about. I mean, they have here in Alabama, where we live now, they have two people in the state house covering state government. That means the governor and the other constitutional officers, the state senate and the state house of representatives. Two reporters.
So they can get away with whatever.
Yeah, if you're a corrupt so-and-so working in a small county in Ohio or California or Alabama or Illinois, these are the salad days. These are great. So anyone who applauds or relishes or embraces or loves the idea that newspapers are going away, you're an idiot. And you hate democracy. And you hate freedom.
Okay. And okay. Also, when you did Winslow ask for a not-so-smart speaker, a lot of people thought you meant Pelosi and not Alexa.
Oh, I know. You know what? As soon as I saw that, when you write them, you think, oh, this is really good. And then you send them off. You think, this is pretty good. And then you see them in the paper and you go, ah, crap. So, yeah. Yeah, what I meant to say is, like, we have... You know, there's more and more, especially like the Daily Mail site has decided the story this week is smart speakers that are taken over by somebody. They're hacked by a neighbor and they talk to the person there. It is creepy. It's really creepy. I'm watching you. You know, it's just horrible. So, yeah. Oops.
Oops.
Is that about it?
That's about it.
Okay, we can leave on Scott's mistake-ish. You know, like I said, I write 7 of these a week. You know, that's 365 a year, and not all of them are going to be out of the park. But I thought it was a pretty good week. I was kind of happy with it.
I got a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
People might want to go to GoComics and check out the comment section, and it's pretty interesting. It's always very interesting comments. I think that people have a very good give and take.
And before we go, I want to throw out... A couple of recommendations. We're lucky. Last night, our son and his wife came over, and Peyton runs Bake It Out Witch, which you should check out, by the way. If you just like food, you know, bake good porn.
Oh yeah, pretty pictures of good.
Oh, and they are so good. Anyway, so they introduced us to two films last night. And by the way, it's called Bake It Out Witch, and you can follow it on Instagram or Facebook. So do it's kind of fun. Do yourself a favor. Bake It Out Witch. So anyway, they recommended two films we watched last night.
Yes.
First one was Treevenge.
It's on YouTube. Short, 15-minute.
Yes.
Christmas tree. You can imagine what happens.
Yes, yes. But it's actually, I think it's quite
funny.
Funny. It's camp as hell. It's supposed to be. It tries to be. It really is. If you're disgusted by really over-the-top blood gushing out of things, then don't watch it. But past that, it's actually pretty good. The other one was a challenge. I'm still thinking about it this morning. And now I can't remember.
Rare Exports.
And it takes place in the Sami area of northern Scandinavia. And it's a fascinating take. It's a horror film. But it's a fascinating take on Santa Claus. And... I think there's a performance by a little boy. If you do see it, the performance by the lead is a little boy. He's terrific.
Yeah, he was. He was very good.
So, Rare Exports. So, there you go.
And it's not real bloody or anything.
No. It's scary. But there's elk.
Is that reindeer.
Elk? Reindeer. Okay. So, there you go. It's a holiday thing. Anyway, okay, Janine, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, and to WGN and WGN Plus for hosting our podcast and just being generally really nice to us. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, please feel free to do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. If you're not already registered, you can do so for free and subscribe to not just Prickly City, but all your favorite comic strips and cartoons. And leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. Don't call me stupid, though.
They didn't call you stupid. They called you an idiot.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
be precise.
I don't like stupid either. Apparently, I'm too ignorant to remember that I was... Anyway, so yeah, we'd love for you to do that. And if you want to contact us directly, you can do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail. How can I not remember that? pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. And there you go for this week's edition. And I want to save my last thank you to you, the listeners, because we really appreciate you listening.
We do.
Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.